Welcome back to the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Picnic. Joel Reese is going to be here. We're going to select, we're going to give nicknames to two of the star Chicago Cubs. This is something we've been doing all month, where the 2016 Chicago Cubs are getting nicknames, authentic, legitimate nicknames from WGN listeners, so that as we hurl towards destiny, we will have the right names to call our players in October. So coming up tonight, Pedro Strop, who's the setup reliever for the Cubs, and also Addison Russell, who's the star shortstop. So those are the two that we're going to be giving nicknames to. Already great nicknames coming in. 312-981-7200. That's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, if you're a Shakespeare fan or just a theater fan, what Chicago's Shakespeare Theater is doing this year is must-see. In honor of the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, Shakespeare 400, they're putting up a huge spectacle show called Tug of War. It's a two-part play, and the first is on stage now. It's called Foreign Fire. It's a who's who of Shakespeare actors and collaborators presenting over 100 characters, all with live music on stage, and the theme is war. It's being billed as Binge Watch Theater, and it's the brainchild of artistic director Barbara Gaines, and she joins me now. Barbara Gaines, welcome back to the download.
Hello.
Good to see you.
It's good
Congrats
to see you.
On the play. This is great. Getting great reviews.
Yeah, we're doing great. I mean, it's Shakespeare being Shakespeare. It's fun. So people are having a hell of a lot of fun. Also, we've got a brilliant rock band on stage that play all the way through these plays, and they become part of the action.
Okay, I have to start with why this treatment? Because for Shakespeare 400, it's sort of Shakespeare all year long. You could easily have gone with classics, pull out all the stops and do different productions. Why do this ambitious project?
Well, you know, I just don't know. The answer is that I get my ideas and I don't know where they come from, but they're just like shot through me and I don't question them if it feels right. And this one felt right because, look, we're in the longest war in American history. And the interesting thing is that I've seen many marathon Shakespeare plays for the histories, and they've been fantastic. You know, they've been really great stuff. But they have never, ever explored the history plays from the eyes of an ordinary soldier. And we are now doing all these history plays with a totally different perspective. What happens to the guys on the front lines when these kings and queens or presidents or prime ministers or, you know, metaphorically, you can go down the line of leaders. What happens? What is the cost or the real cost of war? And there's a lot of beauty in it, you know, the bonding of the band of brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. There's an awful lot of humor in this because it's Shakespeare and he's funny. But there's also a different way of looking at our own lives. And I'm taking these plays, and instead of looking them through the kings and queens, I'm going 100,000 feet up in the air, and what I'm seeing is the whole cycle of history of wars in the world and why mankind seems to make the same mistakes
over and over. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, war plays a big role mm-hmm. in the history plays of Shakespeare. I mean, the three that you're working off of here, Edward III,
mm-hmm.
Henry V, and Henry VI, Part One, right?
Right.
But the concept being that the history plays that Shakespeare wrote, and even some of the other stuff, I mean, war is always in his work.
Yeah, it is, because war is always in our lives. Name a decade when the world hasn't been at war in some way or another. And, you know, I've come to have enormous respect, always have had, for soldiers and people who give their lives for a greater purpose, you know, their country, their love of democracy, their love of their country. But there's also, you know, people take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And I do believe that there would be far less war, if we brought back the draft. What do you say? Let's bring it back.
Here we go. This segment took a nasty turn.
It really,
sure.
But I mean, really, I mean, but the some of the joy about all of this, quite frankly, is that the audience is having such a fun ride. It moves super fast. And okay, the music came to me literally in one weekend, it just poured, don't know from where. But we have, for instance, we have some of Tim Buckley's songs. We have Pink. We have, we will have in the next, Pete Townsend. We have a little Mahler, a little Bach. We have a lot of Richie Havens. We have, you know, Frank Lesser. We have all of these songs that have something to do with either being a soldier or war in some way or another, or love and lust. That's a big part of these.
Well, I mean, a lot of the plays, you know, are surrounding, you know, this one is called Foreign Fire, right. The concept of foreign wars. This was, in Shakespeare's time, it was the English and the French. But there was a lot that had to go into the kings and the queens and why they were fighting.
That's a great
power,
point.
Ambition, greed, like all the things that one powerful person can make so much damage and destruction.
That's exactly right. And nothing has changed. There's the truth of it. People go to war. You see from the three different, we really meet six different kings, French, English, and all these three plays. And most of them are incredibly, I mean, this is Shakespeare all these hundreds of years ago. Some of them are enraged about a failed love affair. Mm-hmm. So they hate. They're angry. They've been humiliated. So he goes to war. He sees how many people he can kill. He'll show her. Mm-hmm. You know, other times they want fame. Other times it's all about power. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Shakespeare, I can only talk about him. There are kind of no good wars in Shakespeare. It's just a lot of squabbling and a lot of people behaving very badly, mm-hmm. regularly. But there's also a lot of sexuality, too. I guess the best way to explain these wonderful plays is that you have people who are so intuitively passionate, and whether it's about war or themselves or whatever agenda they have, they cannot control their behavior.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous because as an adult, we have to.
Right. You know, I'm interested. I mean, you kind of in the program call this out, just the idea that Shakespeare, you know, in his time, he's not writing specifically about something that's happening right then because it's dangerous. I mean, his words are very pointed.
He would have been assassinated.
Yep. But he writes in a very particular way about history, and in doing so, kind of got away with sort of pointing out some of the foibles and the things of the kings and queens.
That's
of their
right. And you know why? Is that Shakespeare, in all of his characters and all of the plays, he never judged any one of his characters. He just showed them as they were. So he lets you decide mm-hmm. whether you like Richard III or Edward III. And so he's not being judgmental. He's treating the audience like they were adults and they can make up their own minds. That's very unusual. He's not teaching. He's not proselytizing. He's just saying, take a look at what happened. And you know what? In all honesty, if he hadn't written these plays that would take place hundreds of years before his life, he would have been in jail or killed
right.
because he created revolutions.
We're talking with Barbara Gaines, the artistic director of Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Shakespeare 400 is on right now. Her show, Tug of War, Foreign Fire, is on stage at Chicago Shakespeare. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk about the production, about this concept of binge-watching theater,
okay.
sort of taking what we know from Netflix and some of the other things and applying it to the stage. Barbara
Super.
Gaines in studio. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. Barbara Gaines, my guest. She's the artistic director of Chicago Shakespeare Theater. She's also the woman behind Tug of War. Part one is out, Foreign Fire. It's on stage now. This is really an amazing undertaking. 6 hours, a lot of breaks, live music on stage.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about the band, and you kind of sort of threw out the contemporary kind of mix that this is.
Right.
But, you know, we forget that Shakespeare is very musical in the way that, you know, everything that, even the prose, everything about it is musical. So it's not that far-fetched to have, you know, music intertwined.
No, you know what? You're so wise. Even his prose, not to mention his verse, It's all music.
Right.
And so, and here the music is actually, now Shakespeare purists are not going to like this, but the music is literally intertwined like a tapestry in the scenes. So they're not just punctuation at the end of a scene or the beginning of a scene.
They're
These are
there.
The characters.
Why aren't they going to like it?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you like your, if you like purity.
But I guess that's, I mean, the reason I kind of throw that out is, I mean, there is a lot of sort of that kind of tug of war.
Yes.
Between sort of purists and adaptations of Shakespeare. This is essentially a thematic adaptation in a way.
It is.
So how do you sort of reconcile the purists who say don't touch Shakespeare that way?
Well, you know what? I say to them, then go to another theater. And with all my respect and really and fondness, I can only all artists can do is use what's in their soul. You only have that to go to. And luckily, I have a friend in Shakespeare, and he creates in me images, and suddenly I see common, wonderfully ordinary soldiers, like I would be if I were not an artist, and I see them getting ready to go off to war, and I can see them, and I hear them sing a song by Tim Buckley, "Once I was a soldier who fought on foreign sands for you. Once I was a hunter who brought home fresh meat for you. Soon there'll be another to tell you I was just a lie. Sometimes I wonder, I really wonder, if you'll remember me." Now, with that song inside of me and these history plays in front of me, that song just inspired, you know, to go to so many other places. And and we got it. We got one of the Pink songs, which is, you know, what is it? The na-na-na-na-na. We're going to start a fight.
Yeah, right.
That's it. I'm having more fun.
Right. Well, I've always, you know, with Shakespeare for me and for the limited experiences I've had with it, both as an actor, as a reader, the one thing that I've always found challenging is that, you know, it really takes a while for you to understand not just the text, but the subtext, like everything about it. It's a very difficult proposition to really understand Shakespeare. So it makes a lot of sense for you you've dedicated your life to Shakespeare to be able to have that kind of that balance between the images of what, you know, you're seeing with the history plays and the music.
That's right.
You know, because you've lived it.
No, I've lived it. And also, but you know, I have to tell you something. I just mentioned this earlier today. Teenagers are loving this. They are like, their eyes and their mouths are wide open and they are leaning forward and they are like, they are just so into it because the stories are very clearly told and very, in some ways, simple. The emotions are complex, but children understand the complexity of emotion because, of course, we're all complicated, right?
Right.
Whether you're 8 years old or 80, life is complicated.
It really is. All right, so let's talk about this binge-watching concept.
Yeah.
So we get the idea of binge-watching now. It's a concept that everybody knows that we sit down in front of a television, we watch 15 episodes of our favorite show. How does that work when you're talking about theater?
Well, it works in a really good way because you get to know the characters. Like, this is really fun because what you're watching, Edward III, is he's the great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather of Richard III, which is the last play in the six-play thing. So you get to know Edward III, and then you get to know his grandson, Henry V, and then you get to know Henry V's son, Henry VI, and suddenly you're in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody's yelling at everybody else, and it's just like your dysfunctional family. I mean, it literally becomes like you know them so well, you want to spend more time with them as long as you don't have to take them home. I mean, it is it's fascinating, and I guess it's kind of hypnotic. That's what people are saying. That they, you know, I'm getting complaints. Now, this has been shocking. I thought we would get complaints about time.
Right.
And
6 hours.
And people are now, the plays are really 4 hours and 50 minutes.
And then you have intermissions.
Then you have a few intermissions.
Things like that, yeah.
But people are saying, A, not only the time has gone so fast, but that we were shocked that it was over so quickly.
That's a good thing.
That's a really nice thing to hear, and I'm hearing it all over the place. So, you know what? So binge watching, I think, is I think it's like, I love soap operas, and that's what Shakespeare is, really. It's just like this big soap opera. I was really into soap operas when I was an actress. Because, I, you know, when you weren't working, you were home watching TV.
Right. Well, I mean, there has been this success. It's becoming more commonplace to have plays that are much longer. We've been seeing this just in pop culture and in theater, right, and Broadway in, right, the last decade, where more and more theaters are engaging in this sort of marathon type theater. Do you like, for you as a director? Well, I mean, is it double the work, or is it a different kind of?
No, it's triple the work.
It's triple the work. So talk about the process.
It's triple doing the work, but you know, it's funny. We knew that, that Shakespeare 400, the 400th anniversary of his death, we knew we wanted to do something that was really an anchor for Shakespeare. And in all honesty, when I thought of it, I know it must be like this with you and all of your listeners. When you have something you love in front of you, and you know and you hope and pray that you can, A, entertain. You just want everybody to have a blast, right? But I also want, with all my heart, to shift perspectives about war, for you to have really empathy for both sides, the warmongers and the soldiers, for us to see things in a more complex way with the prayer that maybe we can shift enough perspectives to stop this massive, horrible engine of war throughout the world. I know every artist is crazy, and I feel a little demented saying this in public, so forgive me, all of you listeners, but you know what? Art can change the world, and that's what we pray for.
I would hope there are more demented things in the world than that. You know, I hope that's the least demented we have. But for you, doing Foreign Fire, coming up in the fall, you'll do Civil Strife. Just from the experience of rehearsals and putting together Foreign Fire, what have you learned that you're going to bring to the second part that's coming up in the fall?
That's a very good point. Number one, I'm going to make it... First of all, you stay with the set. These are three different plays in Foreign Fire, right? Totally different plays. But part two and part three of Henry VI and Richard III are contiguous action. So you stay with the same characters for all three plays. So you get to know them so much better. You get to see the young Richard III before he becomes a mass murderer. You get to understand his father. You see him interacting with his brothers. And it's suddenly like, wow, the jigsaw pieces of time and history become so clear, because psychologically you see how it can all happen. Yeah, and it's wild and wonderful. So I'm just looking forward to the staying in this family for a while.
All right.
And the music. The one difference is Fire and Fire takes place in the past, just a general past. But Civil Strife in the fall, that's all contemporary. So you're in TV studios. It's a very different modern world.
All right. Well, we can't wait. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Barbara. Thank you so much for coming in. Artistic director Barbara Gaines, it's her play, Tug of War, Foreign Fire. That's part one. Civil Strife will be this fall. That's part two. It's on stage at Chicago Shakespeare right now. It is really the centerpiece of Shakespeare 400 Chicago and the celebration, or the honor, of the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death. Barbara, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jess.